The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Yee-haw, I had a rooting, tooting, good old time in Denver, boys.
Is that your best American accent?
Yeah, been practicing since the game, and I've still not conquered it.
No.
But they had a rooting, tooting, good time against New Zealand, did the boys?
Ended up
Waller White.
Ended up being a great win, that, didn't it?
Yeah.
Great win.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it either, because the way that New Zealand started, they started the game like a train, led 12 points to nil, and then just got pegged back. They seemed to lose a bit of confidence. Maybe the altitude wasn't helping them out as much as
you're making excuses for them.
They had 7 new caps as well, remember?
There's new caps in the England lineup. Jake Connor on debut.
New coach at the helm.
Jake Connor made his debut.
Tommy Makinson made his debut. He actually played Percival.
Mark Percival, centre. Ratchford, fullback.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Bennett's finally coming to his senses and playing the team that everyone's been screaming for since the World Cup.
I loved a quote that he also came out with.
What's that?
Somebody asked him after the game, said about John Bateman playing in the centres again. And he just said, listen, mate. He said, I've been coaching for 40 years.
Right.
Just trust me on it.
He actually said that many words.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm impressed.
He said, I've been coaching for 40 years. Just trust me.
Okay.
And why would you not trust
Wayne
him?
Bennett, we trust him.
Why would you not trust him? He's had this job at England for, what, the last 2 or 3 years now? And, it's his third year, isn't it? It's his third year, this one.
19,000 there. Is it a success?
Majorly a success. Yeah, I was expecting there to be... Well, we spoke off air, didn't we?
Yes.
Sort of last week.
Yeah.
And... you know, we weren't expecting, we didn't have any great expectations for the game regarding what it would be like. We thought that the stadium...
Only because the stadium we thought was too big. 76,000, that's as big as Cardiff's Millennium Stadium. And we're thinking, how many fans are going to be there? 20,000, can't complain with that. Although... if they moved it to the football ground, it would have been a sellout. So what do you want, a sellout or a quarter full stadium?
Well, I like this because one of the Twitter accounts that was responsible for the background behind this particular international actually put, well, we wouldn't have been able to fit everybody in the ground.
That's true. 1,000 would have been stood on the floodlights or on the back wall watching.
I always do think, though, full stadium... And full stadia, they do promote a better image, don't they? I mean, we've been to semi-finals held at Lee where there's been 12,000 on the gate. And
yes.
It's a tremendous place to be when there's 12,000 people there. Granted, you know, Huddersfield might hold 26,000, but we've been to semi-finals there and only got 15,000.
Mm.
So it doesn't feel quite an event, does it?
No.
So, take nothing away from it, though, because the bulk of those people going into that stadium in Denver wouldn't have had a Scooby-Doo about what rugby league was all about.
A Scooby-Doo?
They wouldn't have had a clue.
All right.
They wouldn't have had a clue, would they?
They'd been asking, where's the crash helmet?
Exactly. Where's the padding?
Where's the pads? What, you play more than 15 minutes?
What, you can't throw it forward? Someone should tell Sean O'Loughlin. Oh, sorry.
Yes.
And what's this? You don't get your tackle count renewed when you travel 10 metres up the field.
What? And the same team are going to defend as well as attack?
And you've not got a specialist kicker that you bring on and take him off again?
My word. They'd have been bamboozled.
The hot dogs would have been the same, though.
They'd have had the hot dogs and the popcorn and beverages.
Did you see those pictures as well about the tailgate parties in the car park? So there were people getting out, you know, disposable barbecues and stuff. That's what it's all about.
Yes.
I actually think I'm really enthused by that particular event. Yes, they've got nearly 20,000 this time. Let's now get it booked in for next year. Let's go for 25 or even 30,000 at the game.
Welcome to the Final Hooter, Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson. Talking Rugby League on the Final Hooter, the podcast for loverugbyleague.com. And thank you very much for our friends at Radio General for letting us use the studio to let me and you talk about rugby league.
Yeah, to let us do our recording.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. England on international duty. There were some Super League games. Clubs in crisis. Still knocking about the world of rugby league, isn't it? Leeds, there's no crisis there, apparently.
No, there's no crisis.
Nothing to worry about. They just lost six on the bounce. There's nothing to worry about at Leeds. The fact you've lost six on the bounce, and now you're just a couple of points above the bottom four. With how many games left before we split?
Well, they led 24-10 at half-time, and there's, what, five games remaining?
Five games remaining. No need to panic yet.
Is that what a job? Is that not the job of the coach, though, to deflect that sort of criticism?
If I was
a
Leeds fan, I'd be panicking. It really would be.
Well, this is why there's certain people in certain positions, isn't there? Because if they lost their heads, then, you know, now's the time when you raise the challenges.
You can hear the excuses, the ground's put us off with all the building work, putting them off.
Silence. Leeds is a funny one, isn't it? Yes, like a lot of clubs, they've been affected by injuries. I'm not using
ground
that.
Building work.
I'm not using that as an excuse.
No, you can use the ground building work. Use that as an excuse.
Yes, it is a bit of a building site at Headingley. You could argue that it's been that way for a few years, couldn't you? Anyway,
I mean, Southampton's been falling apart for the last 20 years, hasn't it? So what's the difference? Joking aside, I know Brian McDermott saying there's no need to panic. There's no real issues. I think there is.
Well,
I totally disagree with you, Brian.
I guess we'll find out, but there's a reason why.
Listen, if you went on the streets of Leeds and said to them, listen, do you think there's a crisis at your club? Yeah, I think the answer would be yeah.
There's a reason why he's in that coaching job and we're sat in the studio, though,
exactly,
to be
yes,
honest.
Yeah.
So that's the other side of that issue. I like Leeds and I like a lot of stuff that they've done this season, believe it or not, despite this horrible run of results that they're having. But it is a bit of an interesting one, isn't it? You know, six losses on the bounce. It's not as bad as the crisis at Widnes, though, is it?
No. A record run of defeats for Widnes.
10 consecutive league defeats.
Say it again.
10 consecutive league defeats.
My word, it sounds off when you even repeat it, yeah. And when you think you've got Hull away in the next game, St Helens away after that.
That's two more losses.
That's going to be two more, so yeah. It's not great for Widnes Vikings, is it? And the last time they lost that many games was in 1950-51.
Fascinating run that one as well back in the 1950s, because it all started off with a home loss against Castleford.
Right.
And the run was only broken thanks to a draw against Barrow, which happened in the January 1951. The last result of the losses was a loss to the nearest and dearest at Warrington.
Oh, right. They wouldn't have enjoyed that, would they? But they actually broke the duck against Hull, and they play Hull on Friday.
They did. Because if you actually look at it, this particular run that we're talking about, they were actually winless in 13 games.
Wow.
Which is a hefty run of results, isn't it, going against you?
Just about.
But yeah. I call it rugby league symmetry. We were talking about it before we went on air, and this is when something pops up that can potentially break a record and it links with the past. So in this regard, it was a win against Hull that ended that horrible, horrible run back in 1951.
So with that in mind, on the Fan of Hooter podcast, we've decided to throw in a retro rugby league year to look back on. And we thought, you know what, let's go with 1950-51. Guess how old rugby league was in this particular season?
Go on, tell me.
It was 56 years old.
56 years old, so yes. Not quite up to pension age.
Not quite up. Brian Bevan was still knocking about.
Brian Bevan
still
playing.
Top try scorer, 68 tries for Warrington.
Wow, 68 tries.
Yes. That's not bad, is it?
I wonder how many of those were long distance ones as well.
I don't know. You'll have to find someone who was in the crowd on the day. And me and you definitely weren't there.
We weren't even thought of. I don't think my parents were thought of back then.
And get this as well, right? We had one division.
Yeah.
Warrington finished top.
Okay.
But didn't win the championship. They lost it to Workington, who finished in third position, 6 points behind them. I've never heard of that in rugby league, have you?
No.
Disgraceful, that.
No. Why did the top team not win it?
What a daft idea.
Why did we have playoffs?
What's all that about?
We had playoffs. So it's not a new thing. And you know, how
do they think that was the way forward?
I guess this just highlights that in rugby league, there are no new ideas. It's been
just
a long time.
Repackaging them, aren't they? Yeah.
It just gets repackaged, it just gets rebadged, and suddenly, oh, we're evolutionary.
I wonder what was said on that when they said, listen, we're going to have it this way.
Well, I think it was decided back in like 19 dots, wasn't it? It was originally because teams didn't officially play the same amount of matches. So what you had to do, you had to arrange a minimum number. But by this stage in the 1950s, it had been standardised. So you played like the same amount of fixtures, but it was quite complicated how they worked it out.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because you think there's 29 teams, but you only played 36 games.
Exactly. So, you know,
that's confusing.
You'd probably play everybody in your own county.
Oh, okay. Home and
home
away.
And away.
And then
everybody in the other
once.
I wonder whether that was the way that they thought about it.
Now, we mentioned Warrington finished top in this particular season. Didn't win the championship because Workington did. The only ever time they won the title.
Workington were a fantastic team round about this particular era, weren't they?
Well, we looked on their history. They only got formed in 1945. And blow me old, 6 years later, king of the rugby league.
And that's what you call progress, isn't it?
That is progress.
So tell me then, what's the difference between looking at this, I'm talking Workington, who were formed 5 or 6 years earlier than this, and Lenigan talking about almost a closed shop or having, back to a 12-team Super League, just one up, one down?
Looking at that, there's not, is there?
You're cutting clubs' chances of doing something like that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Potentially.
Other trophies up for grabs in this year, the Champs Cup was knocking about. Wigan won that one, defeating Barrow 10-0 in the final. And we had a good old Lancashire League and Yorkshire League as well. Warrington won the Lancashire League, Leeds won the Yorkshire League, and then the County Cups, Wigan beat Warrington in the Lancashire Cup final. Huddersfield beat Casford in the Yorkshire equivalent.
Yeah, it got very complicated when you was working things out at this particular time because, as Adrian mentioned, you had the counties league set up.
Confusing.
So you'd actually split that league up, and like it said, Leeds were top of that particular one, and unbelievable.
Imagine today's players playing 36 league games; they'd be up in arms.
It's bad enough getting them to play 23, isn't it?
Jamie Peacock used to moan like a lot. I nearly swore then, I won't. He used to moan about it all the time, didn't he?
Was that not just as he got older and it got a bit harder?
Probably, yeah.
Because obviously you get your knocks, don't you, as you get older and you start to think, oh, do I still really want to be putting my body on the line like that?
I mean, here's the thing. We were looking at the Champs Cup, weren't we? And we seen what that witness played two games in the Champs Cup first round. Mm-hmm. Against, was it Dewsbury or Keithley? I can't remember. But it was over two legs. Yeah. I never knew that.
So there's a revolutionary idea for you, Adrian. It's been done before, but let's call it new. It's a brand new idea, courtesy of the Final Hooter, courtesy of Love Rugby.
Two legs in the Challenge Cup.
Two-legged defers in the Challenge Cup.
From the quarterfinals onwards, though.
Yeah, that could get quite complicated. There is another benefit.
Oh, like semi-final?
No. I was saying it'd get complicated if you brought it in earlier than quarterfinals. It could work with quarterfinals. And what this would do as well is, you see, because of the contract that the Challenge Cup and the Rugby League has with the BBC, it doesn't get on very often,
exactly,
does it, Rugby League?
So imagine the interest in the two-legged semi-final.
So you'd get another six games shown on telly, wouldn't you?
Too many games, that man. You won't go for it.
Really?
No.
No, but you're getting it in front of people, aren't you? That's the whole idea.
I'm thinking about it. They're making a big thing of the semi-finals this year being a double header.
I like that. I do like that.
We mentioned it years ago. It should go that way anyway. But if they had the semi-finals, two-legged the first, well, you wouldn't one have to hire a ground.
Yeah.
Because it'd be home and away. And guaranteed, both games should be sold out.
You would think so, wouldn't you? Because there's something to play for right until the final whistle. Every minute matters. Oh, no, we've heard that one before.
Yeah, we've heard that one before. Don't repackage that one.
Every second counts.
No, we've had that one as well.
Have we?
Every pie counts, that though. Yeah.
Well, that's it. That's okay if Wigan's in a semi-final. Or a quarter-final.
Just looking at the one league that we had.
Okay.
Plenty of famous names here that are no longer with us within the World Rugby League.
Go on, chuck some at me then.
Bellevue Rangers.
Oh, Bellevue, yeah.
Yeah, remember going there? You probably did.
Never went to Bellevue.
No, neither did I. Maybe else is knocking about Bramley.
Bramley, yeah.
Liverpool Stanley.
Who are they?
Who are they?
Exactly.
Who are they? Trying to see who else it is. Oh, that's it. Huntslet weren't called New Huntslet. That must have been the old team before they disbanded.
Yeah, I think that happened in the 1970s.
Because they introduced a new bit in the late 70s, early 80s, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that was sort of from mid-70s onwards where they became New Huntslet.
And Bradford were called Bradford Northern.
So, you mentioned who finished top of the pile. Who finished bottom?
Liverpool, Stanley. Who were they?
York, second bottom.
Yeah.
What about that third bottom team?
Widnes, the third bottom in this particular season.
It's no wonder that they finished so far down the league, is it, with 10 successive defeats?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Not good, is it?
Tell you what, when you look at the way that Castleford are flying these days, they weren't that far off the bottom either, were they?
No, not at all.
So, yeah, interesting stuff. Love a bit of nostalgia, mate.
Can't beat it, can you?
Can't beat it, so we'll just read up on it.
Let's get the flat cap out and the whip it and relive the days.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Welcome back. I'm way over reminiscing with me with the flat cap and my whippets. I was looking at that grand final between Warrington and Workington.
Oh, yes.
It was played at Main Road, Manchester.
Hosted several championship finals.
66,000. And we go mad about 60-odd at Old Trafford for the grand final. They were doing it 50-odd years ago.
See, welcome to the party.
Yeah.
Nothing is new in rugby league.
Nothing is new. It's just repackaged. I'll tell you one thing that is new.
Go on.
A test game in Denver. Yeehaw!
That is new. That is new.
Can they repeat it, though?
Well,
will they repeat it? I know we've got the World Cup in North America coming up, apparently.
2025.
If it goes ahead.
Don't say if it goes ahead. It's been booked in.
Nothing's guaranteed in rugby league, you know that.
Although we do have the 2021 World Cup over here to look forward to before then.
If it goes ahead. No, it will do. Look, I've been assured it will do. But the North America one, we'll see.
Don't be so negative.
I'm not being negative.
I thought we were part of the Rugby League Evangelist Society.
We are.
Yeah, I thought we were meant to champion the likes of West Wales.
West Wales, yeah, they could do a work in some.
Hemel Stags.
Hey, they've improved.
Coventry Birds.
West Wales have improved.
They have.
They're only conceding 60 points a game now rather than 100.
It's getting better.
Come on, the West Wales Tigers, yes.
West Wales Tigers?
Is that what they call it?
Have you created another one?
You might as well.
West Wales Raiders?
It is, isn't it, yeah. I read somewhere they're back in association with Wigan, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Back in partnership, as they say.
So that'll be Wigan snapping up all the good young Welsh talent from now on, won't it?
It will do.
So, nostalgia. You look like you're still looking at it.
I'm not. I'm taking it off.
Oh, right. Okay. I thought you was getting obsessed with it then. A bit like myself.
I was just looking at the last one before we went from one division to two, because someone said, you know what, let's have a brand new idea. And we'll go from one division to two.
Which also happened in the early 1900s, by the way.
Did it? Okay. Well, this one was done in 1974 onwards, wasn't it? So the final winners of the old Rugby League playoff championship, as it was back then.
Blimey, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Just say that again.
No. Dewsbury won that one against Leeds.
Well, you do realise, I mean, I was at Dewsbury at the weekend, actually. And
I thought you were going to say you were at that match.
They have a picture up.
Because you're going to say you've seen Mike Stevenson running around with
them. Yeah, well, they have a picture up, and Mike Stevenson was the captain of Dewsbury at the time. So Steve-O there with the cup.
Still enjoying his retirement.
Very much so.
Probably still watching the Rugby League.
Yeah, just like the rest of us.
Probably sat there criticising Eddie. No, you can't say that, can you?
Just like the rest of us.
Just like the rest of us, yeah. And Brian Carney. And the gang.
Stop trying to make me comment. I don't want to comment. You'll get me in trouble.
Anyway, back to the test match at Denver.
Thank goodness.
Who caught your eye? Who's the standout performer for the Wall of White?
I'm going to say Elliot Whitehead.
Yeah, good shout.
Elliot Whitehead has turned into a world-class second-row man. He was always a player that I rated as he was coming through the ranks at Bradford, had that stint with Catalans, but looked like there was a little bit of something missing, and I can't quite put my finger on it.
I thought it was a gamble when he went to Australia, because I thought, no, he won't do it. He'll go there for a year, and he'll be back.
Now, that's just everybody else. He's gone there. He's flourished, hasn't he? Yes. Absolutely floored it. He is brilliant. Mm. What a player he's turned into.
The Aussie game obviously suits him.
Yeah. And the likes of Sam Burgess as well. I think that we lose something with having to play Sam Burgess a little bit wider. You know, we keep going with Sean O'Loughlin as a loose forward, don't we? And he's 36.
He's 36, man. Get a grip. It's time to bring in some fresh blood. Look, the football team are doing it. Let us do it.
Well, maybe we will. Maybe we'll. Maybe this will be the time.
Who'd be the next one to replace him then? Who's knocking on the door?
Well, I would say, here is where, and hear me out here, because I'm going to...
Don't you dare say Joe Westerman.
It is. No. All right. Not Westerman.
That's a relief.
A few years ago.
He's knocking on.
A few years ago, yeah, possibly. But no, for some reason, it's never really kicked on for him, has it? At that international standard. No, I was thinking more... and you'll like this, and so will a lot of people listening.
Go on then.
Bateman back in the pack.
Right.
And Sam Burgess to loose forward.
Wow.
That's the only change that you need.
That could be a revolution.
Because we found out that Tommy Makinson can play a bit at international level.
John Wilkin told us that, didn't he?
Well, yeah.
Wilco said he should be in the England team.
We knew he should have been in it a couple of years ago, to be
just
fair.
Just injuries, wasn't it?
We also know as well that there's a certain Jake Connor that can play a bit of rugby as well as winding people
the
up.
Lovable rogue.
He was brilliant.
Still a lovable rogue, and he's got that nastiness about him.
He set two tries up and then scored with an outrageous dummy.
What were Huddersfield thinking when they let him go to Hull?
They probably didn't have too much to say about it, in honesty.
No, okay.
I think they tried to block it, didn't they? But they didn't have that much say in it, ultimately, because right. He'd already made that choice that he needed to move on. But Huddersfield's loss is certainly Hull's gain. He's been one of those players that I always enjoy watching. And the fact as well, he's very versatile. And Wayne Bennett has highlighted his versatility because he said he can play at hooker.
We trumpeted Percival. How did you feel he went?
Quiet. I thought he had a real quiet game, actually.
Bit of a damp squid then, really. Yeah, everyone's been screaming, get him in the centres.
Didn't really stand out. I thought that there was other players that were a little bit ahead. And to be honest, I think
he was nervous.
Possibly, yeah. I think he was a bit synonymous with the rest of the team, because it was a really slow start for England, and then in the second half they got going. I liked the look of Widdop at scrum half. I thought he did a really good job there.
Widdop at scrum half. He's a halfback.
Well, yeah, he's moved from stand-off. One side to the other, really. There's not that much difference between the two roles these days, is there?
Oh, okay.
But he was taking much more of, what's the Aussie term? First receiver.
Right.
So he was the one who was getting the pass.
Listen, we're an English podcast. Oh, right, so okay. Can we leave the Australian slang for them,
if
please?
If I must.
No, I'm from Widnes, you're from Lee.
what are you saying?
From the Bondi Beach area.
No, I've been to Blackpool a few times, though.
I might be on the Golden Sands of the Mersey, but, you know, can we leave the Australian slangs for the Aussies?
And to be fair, you know, 31 degrees.
Next,
you'll
be calling him a 3/8.
A 3/8?
Is that what they call it over there?
5/8.
That's it, yeah. Can't you tell I'm interested in the Australian rugby league?
You got your...
I was never very good on fractions in school. I've just proven it.
Well... Have you ever wondered where you get the term 3/4 from?
No.
Ah, you see, there you go. See, you got halfbacks, yes. And 3/4.
But why do the Aussies call it that?
Because 5/8 stands a little bit further. It's not quite half, is it?
Don't confuse me, please. Can you just stick to scrum half and stand off?
Go on, then. Anyway, for me, we'd have been impressed. You know, and I think he's got better and better in an England shirt. He was one of these that a couple of years ago, I wasn't 100% sure of him, being honest. He'd never really done it at international level, had he, despite having this welter of experience in the NRL. But for me, I think he started to stand up and realise he's got a massive part in this England team. I tell you, also had a brilliant dynamic in that game.
Who?
Roby.
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
He is still the top number 9 in this country. He is awesome.
He's throwing down the challenge to everybody else. You want this top, come and get it off me. I had a strike me down moment.
Did you?
Ahead of the build-up for that game. I heard an interview on a local radio station with Sean O'Loughlin.
Okay.
And they mentioned Michael Maguire, New Zealand coach. And I never knew that.
When did you realise?
When was that announced? Maguire was the New Zealand coach.
Did you not get that memo? It was announced about 3 weeks before the test match.
Wow, didn't know that.
There's been a few changes behind the scenes. Obviously, they named 7 debutants as well. And for me, if you're looking at exciting players, what about this fella? Dalin Watine-Zalesniak.
I'm glad you said that.
The fullback. Awesome player. I'm just looking at his stats. 17 carries.
Wow.
151 metres from a fullback.
Wow, is that all?
That is an immense bit of work, isn't it? Compared with Stephen Ratchford, he only carried the ball 10 times.
So what do you think Michael Maguire will bring to New Zealand then? Because when he took over Wigan, he took out the off-the-cuff stuff, didn't he, and put a bit of steel into the back line.
I think...
certainly in defence.
I think that he will bring the same defensive unity and organisation to the Kiwi role. I would hate him to affect the attacking too much because they're the best team on earth to watch.
Off the cuff, aren't they?
They are brilliant. I mean, they had big fella, loads and loads of hair at loose forward, Taupo. And he was excellent. He got the ball away 3 or 4 times, just flicking out. And you're just thinking, there's no other forward, certainly over here, that could do that type of stuff.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Just thinking about Michael Maguire being the coach
of
New Zealand, Australian, first time ever.
Yeah.
Wayne Bennett, yeah. Australian, England coach.
Okay.
We've been taken over by foreign coaches, all being the head coach. Only John Kerr, and he's a France coach.
Hang on, no, you're right. John Kerr is not Welsh.
He isn't, he's English.
So he's took over the Welsh job?
Yes. Who's the coach of France?
They've got a Frenchman in charge.
Oh, never catch on that.
Mark Aston.
Ireland coach.
And then they've got the...
South Yorkshire's finest.
They've got the dual coaching role of Scotland, haven't they, between Chris Chester and John Duffy now?
Yes.
Again, not a Scotting side.
A Frenchman, head coach, never catch on, indeed. To replace him, won't they, with a New Zealander or Australian?
Depends how they do, don't they?
They've done it with the Englishman, that never worked.
Bobby Goulding, when Bobby was there.
Bobby was there. Richard Agar,
yeah, he had a stint, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Interesting.
Didn't John Mooney have a stint once?
He did, yeah. He took him to the World Cup in, was it 2008?
Where is John Mooney?
Back in Australia somewhere.
Mooney. Oh, no, I'm not going to sing.
No, stop it.
Welcome back to the Final Hooter, talking Rugby League on Radio General, Adrian Jackson. And Dave Parkinson on loveleague.com as well.
I'm glad that you remembered who I was. I thought there was a gap there.
Sorry about that. It's the heat. It's playing tricks of your mind, wasn't it? Anyway, let's try. In fact, before we talk the championship, while the boys were enjoying themselves in Denver, yeehaw, got the wind, didn't they? It was announced the reason Sean Wayne's is quitting as the head coach of Wigan this year is because he's finally announced he's going to the dark side. He's going to be a head of performance coach at the Scotland Rugby Union.
Oh, well done to him. It's a good
that
result.
Sounds
that
sounds
like
a nice little number to have, doesn't it?
Yeah. It should be good, that. He'll do a cracking job, though, won't he?
Interesting job. I wonder what that intakes.
Head of performance.
Could be anything, that.
It's a bit vague, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit vague. Head of performance.
Performance of what?
Yeah,
singing in the shower, maybe.
He could be in charge of that.
He could be a.
You never know.
Head of performance on the karaoke on the coach on the way home after the games.
Yeah, could be. I'm just trying to think about any other defaults and things that he could be in charge of.
Head of performance at the bar. No, they don't do that these days, do they? No, can't say that. Anyway, good luck with the job next year, Sean. Man, I'm sure you'll want to win a trophy, but you're not going to win the Challenge Cup. Oh God. Shame.
Stop it.
I'm sorry.
You're just rubbing it in.
I am, I'm sorry.
We'll be getting hate mail. No. I'm the one that's got to edit this. It goes on my social media profile.
Let's move along very quickly. Talk about the championship, because them guys didn't have the luxury of a weekend off, nor did they have the luxury of going to Denver for a test match. Although I interestingly saw something regarding there could be a potential test game between Ireland and Hungary in Budapest.
Yes, I think that's all part of the next qualification set up for the next World Cup.
And Witness on about maybe a tour to Papua New Guinea, where they are now the number one team in the UK in Papua New Guinea.
Nice bit of business for them.
Yeah.
Anyway, the championship.
Back to the championship. Back to the bread and butter side of rugby league. Back to the heartlands. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so the championship, this particular weekend, saw the haves against the have-nots. So it was basically all the top six sides facing off against the bottom six sides.
Right.
And as you would expect in a competition that is a little bit mismatched, there was a number of mismatches. So big wins for Lee, Halifax, London Broncos, Toulouse Olympique, Featherstone Rovers, and the Toronto Wolfpack against Barrow. Now, Barrow only travelled with 14 men. Again, it's been put down to visa issues.
That's not
good
for prep, is it?
No, and they had a player go off after a minute, so they were on the last 13 on the field.
Literally down to the bare bones.
Toronto played some good stuff. Also some fine stuff played by Toulouse, by the way, who for me are still the entertainers in this division. Really, really good.
That scrap for the top four was getting tasty.
I was just about to move on to that. So you've got Toronto basically out of sight, 33 points they've gained. Then Toulouse, Featherstone and Halifax currently occupy the other three spots with 26 points. Those Toulouse and Featherstone, 25 points for Halifax. Then there's a real scramble. You've got London Broncos with 24 points, Lee Centurions with 24 points. These next few weeks are going to be absolutely key.
You're going to be biting your nails, aren't you? One defeat could put you outside and a win could put you back in.
The fascinating thing about it is this coming weekend, we see Batley at home to London Broncos, so they could have a real say there, could the Bulldogs. Also, we're only talking Toronto and Lee. Wow,
we like that.
Wow.
Everyone likes that.
Tell you what, the last time those sides met in Blackpool, that was a sight to behold.
Rowley just loses it, doesn't he? He can't handle it.
Well, how can you say that? Because he's actually won both of those
games. What I mean is, he just loses it when Lee comes to town.
You reckon?
It gets tasty, doesn't it?
Well, it does have the potential to get a bit
of needle. We like that in rugby league.
I like rivalries. We like close games. You know, I mean, these Toronto fans, if it ends up being a close game, they won't know what to expect because every game they've seen virtually, it's been like a 50, 60 point drubbing, isn't it? So if it's anything close, then they're in for a treat.
And it's getting tasty at the top of the League One as well, isn't it?
Very much so, yeah. I mean, Bradford Bulls continue to impress. They defeated Doncaster. There was also wins for Hunslet, for York City Knights, for North Wales Crusaders, Newcastle Thunder, Whitehaven and Workington at the weekend.
There were some other Super League games this weekend as well. Leeds lost out, didn't they, to Castellands?
They did. Castleford defeated Wigan.
Castleford, a depleted Castleford side, defeated Wigan, didn't they?
And have we mentioned Wakefield defeating Widnes?
Stop it.
10 games
stop
in
it.
Succession.
I don't want to hear it anymore.
Oh, okay.
Stop it.
I've stopped. ten games in succession.
You've got to get a win.
We'll see.
Listen, history repeats itself. And in 1950-51, they beat Hull.
So all they've got to do is beat Hull.
They've got Hull in the sights in the next round of Super League.
Simples.
Easy, isn't it?